Hello, everybody. We are back with another episode of Design Behind the Mask. I am your host, CW. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to head on over to carlwaldron.com to get all your Design Behind the Mask needs. Eventually, this show will be, you know, on other platforms like YouTube and such, but it's just not there yet, so it will be. And if this episode is, like, old, it's probably there. So go check carlwaldron.com, and maybe there's a link there. Or in the show notes. So I don't know. It'll be somewhere. Thanks for listening. We did it. We got another episode from the higher-ups. They found some money in the budget. They moved around some items. They, you know, they made it work. So we're here for one more episode. They had just enough funds to get us on the air one more time. And then they said they'll reassess. So let's make the most of it. Today's topic is that one dev that nobody ever listens to. Have you ever met that dev? I don't know if, you know, what, you know, business you're in, but given that the world runs on computers, I assume you work with a development team at some point, someone working in a code base, C++, Python, hell, HTML, CSS, whatever. But as you work, you know, and you build digital products, whether that be websites or apps or healthcare products, I don't know, clinical forms, who knows? There will be tech debt. There will be things that accumulate in your back end that you just have to let it sit until your team has time to go back and fix the mistakes that they made. Human error in code, you know? Tech debt. It's inevitable. But after a while, that tech debt tends to get heavy. It's looming. You can see it on the horizon. Like, man, if we don't do something about this tech debt now, we'll never get out from underneath it. But then there's always, like, business decisions that get in the way. There's clients that you have to appease. There's downtime that you can't afford to have. There's other business you have to land that pulls devs away from fixing old stuff. Sometimes it's just been years and the tech that's so massive, you don't know how to chip away at it. But there's always that one dev. There's always that rogue vigilante dev who has some radical idea to clean up all the tech debt, or, you know, introduce a new process, or they figure out how to save a couple clicks on something. I don't know. They have some idea that pauses a room. It pauses a room in a way that, and I've been in the room when this happens, you can see the gears turning in other devs' minds. You can see the fear in higher ups' eyes. And you can see the dev realizing that they just made a mistake by proposing such a wild idea. And then that idea gets shot down for whatever reason. Money, usually money. It always rolls up to money. But later on, hindsight being 2020, you realize that lone cowboy, that developer out there who pitched what was essentially a silver bullet to save your tech debt, they were right. She said it would work, and it would have. He said that if we just do these three things, and you know, take X amount of time, if you give me, you know, three devs and 6 months, I can fix it. And they said no. And then it never got fixed. And then that dev ends up quitting because, man, there's so much tech debt here. No one listens to me. And I've seen it happen so often. So often that I would sit in the room and hear devs pitch these ideas that sound, you know, reasonable from a person who just can ever so slightly empathize with developers having built websites before. I understand how finicky code can be. So when they pitch stuff like that, I know that they've thought about it deeply. truly, in their mind's eye, they're like, I think this will work. And to see their hopes get crushed when either upper management or project management or something tells them, nah, we can't do that. And then they shuffle off to some other company and hopefully they'll get listened to there. I always wonder, like, why don't we listen to those crazy devs more? Those lunatic fringe devs. Why am I talking about this? Well, honestly, it's a video game related thing. So I am a Destiny 2 player. I'll say that loosely. I don't play it anymore because it's not very good anymore. But that is a game. It's a looter shooter. It purports itself as an MMO. It's a 10-year game. It's been going on for over 10 years now. And last year, they finished up their whole story arc for the 10 years. But they continue to push out content to kind of keep this game in a very weird zombie state. And it's not great. The game is not good. But the question is always, well, why can't we get more content? Or why can't we do certain things in the game? And the why can't we have more content is usually answered by we're not being funded enough. You know, they slashed a bunch of jobs. The team is very small. And then another is, like, you know, it's tech debt. It's a 10-year-old game. We have so much tech debt, we can't accomplish X, Y, or Z. There is a discussion going on in the community about, you know, could a Destiny 3, a whole new game, save the franchise? And I've heard, you know, video game professionals, we'll call the, you know, streamers, talk about this idea and say, you know, Destiny 3 would be a 5, 7, 10 year project that you wouldn't see for a long time, and by that time the, you know, Destiny brand would die. And they say this at the same time where the narrative team and the team that is currently working on Destiny 2 is putting out a new saga. I don't know what it's called. The recent one's called Edge of Fate. But I know that when the conversation cropped up about what do we do after we've completed this whole story arc for Destiny 2, what do we do with this game? That lone dev that no one listens to, I can see it now. A meeting in a conference room where the walls are glass, and there's that frosting, you know, right through the middle or right at the top. So you can't see, either you can't see midsections of people or you can't see their heads. It's one of those rooms with a wall-to-wall whiteboard and a lot of ergonomic chairs around, and some dev with a notebook or his or her laptop or whatever, you know, raises their hand and said, well, why don't we... You know, I've looked at the code base. I know there's a lot of tech debt, but if you give me, you know, this dev, this other dev, this PM, you know, this QA person, that QA person, and 6 months, I can carve out an instance of this game that we could, you know, turn into some kind of 20, 40-hour co-op thing that is all on its own. We can, you know, continue to use characters from Destiny 2, like the player characters can import the characters in, play the game, get the story, get new loot. And then when you're ready with the new big expansion, that whole Destiny 3 or that whole, next big thing that's going to carry for the next 10 years, you have, you know, a little breathing room, like our sort of cutout game could help bridge that gap a bit. We can continue to support it with DLC. We'll cut out the PvP mode so that, you know, it's smaller. And I'm sure they pitched all this crazy stuff. And someone was like, nah, nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to continue to try and jury rig and kind of paste on new content while removing old content from this already bloated 10-year game. And the players will be fine. And the dev sat down and then either promptly got fired or quit to go, you know, work for other people who will listen to them. That's all I can think every time I hear someone talks about Destiny 3. Now, I will preface this by saying, obviously, I have no idea if that happened. But I have a lot of experience being in those meetings where I can, with confidence, say that it very much probably happened. Someone pitched something crazy. Maybe not exactly what I said, but some dev stood up and pitched some wild idea, and I swear to Jeebus, it probably had something to do with, let's just take PvP out. You guys aren't even supporting it. Let's just cut this whole code base out, and then we can do something, and you know, we can bridge it. And they were like, no, of course, PvP is core to the game. And they were like, all right. And they sat down, and then someone sent them a pink slip, and now the game is in disarray. So, I don't know. I guess my point, if I had one, because it's late, and I don't know what I'm saying anymore. If I had a point, it would be just listen to that crazy dev once in a while. Throw him a bone. If a dev were to say something like, if you gave me, you know, 4 resources in 6 months, I could do X, Y, and Z. Do we got the budget? If we have the budget, let's just do it. Just go do that. We'll do our thing here. We'll support you how we can. But man, I like the gumption. The video game industry doesn't take a whole lot of risks, which that's going to be a whole nother episode. I might do it right after this. But yeah, listen to that crazy dev, that person out on a ledge pitching all these crazy ideas like love and forgiveness. Wait, that wasn't a dev. That was a whole other dude in a robe. Anyway, again, it's late. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we get money for another episode. But if we don't, you know, thanks for joining me. So let's see where we end up after this, guys. Let me know in the comments if you agree with listening to a crazy dev. Have you been that crazy dev? What did you pitch? And who told you no? And then where did you end up after you left angry? I'd love to hear in the comments of wherever you're listening to this or wherever you saw the post for this. Thank you again for listening. I'm CW, and to be continued.